You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligan, stupid.
Yeah, baby! Come on!
Look at that. We're bringing it back.
I didn't do the whole thing. I stopped short.
We have to be more conscious of time. So if you extend the yeah, baby for an excessive amount of time.
We got to do a new one. We got a DraftKings!
Okay, all right. It's on brand all the time.
Bro, you know how we do. We chill, baby.
Welcome to the very special episode of the Cooligans. If you're watching this, you might see some candles, some nice refreshing candles.
Just sitting on top of these cold, crisp, Coors Lights.
Okay, because it's officially a Cooligan's birthday, the dual birthday.
This is what Cooligan's Fest now looks like with you having had a baby.
Yes.
Now, Cooligan's Fest is candles on a beer.
Okay, and I got vomit on my shirt.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I'm really sorry about that.
Okay. It happens. Yo, it gets a little crazy.
I ordered the fish tacos. Don't do that.
But as always,
it's the Cooligans, buddy.
Welcome to the Cooligans birthday spectacular, because yesterday was my birthday.
Yeah.
Today is Alexis's birthday.
Today is my 23rd birthday. Okay. Isn't that amazing?
It's so wild.
Like, we started the show when I was 15.
I was like, wow, I cannot believe I started working with a 15-year-old.
Yeah. Who looked so old.
I was going to say, bro, only 1 year younger than me. That's crazy.
I know. It was bananas, dude.
Okay.
Shut up, old man, boomer.
Look at producer Miguelito trying to look cool like us.
You ain't part of the Z gang, as we all call ourselves in Gen Z, dude.
That's right. Z gang, gang, gang.
Yeah, viejito over there.
But we're excited to be back together because I was on paternity leave.
Right.
Mateo decided to arrive.
Wild disrespectful of him.
You know, but weirdly enough, he arrived literally just a couple hours past his due date.
Why don't we do something so that we don't have this fire? Why don't we blow out? We just had fire raging in the studio, and you just started talking about something else. I'm like, no, we got to blow this thing out.
I forgot about the lit candles.
One of them is teetering, too. Thank God this table's made out of glass, bro.
Okay.
Well, we each got to make a wish.
But we can't say
and
it.
And we have to hold pinkies, cross pinkies, no, with the other hand, so it doesn't get in the way of you blowing it out, all right?
This is some weird...
He hates affection. Can you see it on his face?
That's not true.
Miguel, look at it. Look at him. Look how nervous he is.
It's not true. It's just, it feels like a very strange Cooligan's death ritual that we just began.
Yo, the spirit, Diego Costa is going to appear behind us.
Pay no attention to the pentagram behind
There's a horned animal skull on my tattooed on my chest.
Okay. Sam Smith is going to walk through that door.
His stylist walks in behind him.
All the conservative.
Why are we still holding our speech?
Well, you said you had no problem with
Let's
it.
Blow the candles
I'll
out.
I'll do this for the whole damn show. All
right. We make a wish.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Oh, beautiful.
Right, check if the results of City Arsenal changed.
Okay.
That was my wish.
It's still
He wished the city to get fined for, financial fair play.
Where's that damn trial? Where are we with this damn trial?
The judge. He has a powder wig on.
hear ye.
In the case of City v. Gunners.
Who's that judge and why is he holding pinkies with that Dominican man?
That's a strange bailiff he got there. All right. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. We are back together.
Finally,
after
bro.
After about five weeks.
We got all these dusty co-hosts out of here. Sprayed the room down.
Okay.
And we back.
That's right. Yeah, this is we're going to take our time to just do a little performance review of David Goss and Christine Cupo.
Yeah. We got the telestrator.
So, Alexis, you were in Manchester. That's why you weren't here last week. You were watching Manchester City.
Surprise trip.
Yes, there was.
Surprise, you're going to hate it.
Pretty cool. CBS, they were like, let's give this a Make-A-Wish kid and just disappoint. Give him a bad gift. Even I knew. I mean, there's a little bit of it's a nice gesture.
More of a Make-A-Nightmare. Let's Make-A-Wish.
It's a nice gesture. Thank you, CBS, for doing that. But there's a little bit of like, yo, this is the one y'all picked?
No, when they did it, I was shocked, as you could see on camera. Yeah. But then afterwards, I'm like, oh, well, this is going to be good for TV. It's just to watch me and Charlie Davies near crying, almost getting physically accosted.
That's right. That's right. There were, you know, the City fans can get a little rambunctious.
All them jokes about City having old, weak fans. Well, I found the one who wasn't.
This is the thing. I think this is why, sometimes... there aren't many comedians in the soccer space, in the football space.
Right.
Because, and a lot of times, when we started, we were like, why aren't there many comedians? Like, around this is, there's comedians and there's jokes, there's a lot of banter around all the other sports. Why isn't it, why not football?
As if there's something about football fans that they can't take jokes.
You go to some of these cities out in England or anywhere, Italy, wherever, and you start being a couple yuck yucks about your club, and they're like,
how about stabby stabby?
They're like, oh no.
I don't think that's really what we had in mind.
We've been obsessed with our club since about 15 popes ago. So we don't really joke around like
that. My great great granddaddy went to the first match. He was the only fan there. And you will not disrespect his team.
So some of the City fans were probably a little annoyed. Some Arsenal fans were like in the section, but at the end they got the last laugh.
People asked if they could see the full video. That was all of it. Thank God, that was all of it.
And the guy just like shared. Someone just like grabbed your shoulders.
He grabbed my shoulder and shook me, which I thought was in the joy of the VAR call. Turns out no. it was in his joy of discovering I was an Arsenal supporter.
Yeah.
Mixed in with the City fans, which. For the most part, no one really had much of a problem with, but this guy in particular was like staring me down for like 20 minutes. I think he realized it, somewhere.
This guy's cute.
Somewhere along the lines of not rooting for anything that was happening good for Manchester City. But we tried our hardest to kind of maintain a neutrality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were celebrating good.
Were reporters for CBS.
We were trying. I even wore my old-timey press jacket.
What you have here?
That's my jacket, bro. I don't give a damn, bro.
Hold on.
Do not put on my coat.
I'm putting on your coat.
You're going to look like a kid in his dad's coat.
Gonna look like
because you are so skinny. Don't let it drag.
Everybody was making fun of you.
Bro, that's because they don't know. They don't got my swag, bro. Look at the size of his jacket on. Bro.
Look at me, kid.
It looks good on you. I ain't gonna lie.
If Inspector Gadget had some swag,
with this Inspector Gadget reference everyone is making? Did you all watch cartoons 55 years ago?
I did.
This is, bro, I should be in a rap video.
Don't be letting it drag, though. It's my look. Y'all can be mad at. You know who hated that jacket the most? The audio guy, because the buttons jingle. And he thought it was his wire for 20 minutes. I didn't realize what was happening. I go, oh, is it the button? He goes, if I am button, mate. Oh, jeez, I'm changing wires here. It's like flipping out. He changed my mic 3 times. But yeah, so somebody grabbed me and called me scum, regular stuff. Honestly, it's like being in my in-laws, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Except this guy didn't say Puerto Rican. He just said scum.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. Well, look, that's I guess in England, that's a term of endearment.
Yeah. No, to be honest with you, it seemed a little silly, and I realized it's funny. One of my Newark friends sent me a message being like, yo, I know that face. And I saw how quickly you changed. Like, hey, what? What's going on? He's like, I know how pissed off you were. But Dude, I'm being filmed. I'm technically on a work trip. Yeah, you know? Yeah. I can't come back lumped up. You know what I mean? From the first trip they sent me on, I'm scrapping.
That's the last one you go on for
That's the last one. Insurance reasons only. Nah, you can't be scrapping on the trip. No.
Right, right. Nah. All right.
And also, I was like four rows away from Noel Gallagher.
Yeah.
Colo Torre was there. It was a bunch.
Yeah.
That's his brother.
No cake.
And whatchamacallit, the cast of Ted Lasso were not that far from us.
Oh.
Because they were in a suite, the whole cast. So I'm like, bro, this isn't the place to. And that dude's dad pulled him off. It was like, yo, bro, stop embarrassing the family. We got money. That's why we're sitting up here.
You should have hit up Roy Kemp, bro. He would have defended
you. Yo, you guys know Brett Goldstein's like not that strong of a guy, bro. The real character ain't that buff, bro. So, yeah, look, it was a fun trip overall. The two things I will say. One, we need to go with security if you're ever going to sit me in the opposite team section. And two, can restaurants in Manchester please stay open past 7 p.m., bro? Does no one eat late in this city?
Is that?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
This happened to us when we were in Liverpool.
Yeah, there were a couple places. Yeah, we couldn't really go.
Remember the pizza place we went to with the Diablo whatever in it? It was like all spray paint in there.
Yes. Yeah.
That place was open. That was the only place to eat. They have a location in Manchester.
Lovely.
And I'm like, I've been there and I will never go back.
Well, you got to see Erling Haaland.
Yo, scoring on me with his hair down, bro.
Up close.
Let me tell you something. I said something on the show. I said, you know, he's not that. He really didn't get that open, but it looked like he was kind of playing a false nine, trying to facilitate late runs.
Sure.
Kevin De Bruyne didn't.
He was. They were both spectacular.
Sure. Kevin De Bruyne did an incredible job of being like 4 feet away from holding, like being like, what do I do? Do I stay back here or do I go over there?
Yeah.
He was so confused the entire game. Everyone said Odegaard didn't look good. Saka didn't look good. Sure. Akanji put him in his pocket. Kyle Walker put Martinelli in his pocket. More than anything, the midfield couldn't do anything because everyone, if you watch that game, they all keep checking back to see what Rob Holding is doing. The team doesn't play the same without Saliba, and that's season over.
I was talking about this with Goss last week. Like, you know, I don't think Saliba being there makes any difference at all.
Y'all smoking something.
Bro.
These candles ain't the only thing I got lit.
Holding is here. No, everyone was part. I thought Partey was bad. I thought.
Because they're all protecting Holding.
I don't know about that.
I was there, bro. Through the fisticuffs, I could see.
But no, Erling Haaland did score his 33rd goal of the Premier League season. Then he scored his 34th in the next match on the weekend.
Congrats.
He has now tied the Premier League goal scoring record, which is how many games? There's five games left? Six games left? And City, I think, have six.
He might end with 40 goals.
So he tied with Alan Shearer. And who was Andy Cole.
So
the interesting thing here is that they did it in 42 games when the Premier League season was longer. And Erling Haaland has done it in like 32 games, 33 games.
Yeah.
We've hung out with Alan Shearer.
Yes.
When he scored this goal, he's the first person I thought of. I'm like, oh, this man had this record for such this co-scoring record for such a long time. I wonder how he feels about it, you know, just because he is making almost a mockery. Erling Haaland is making almost a mockery of this goal scoring record, having done it in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, well, when your bench is worth more than Alan Shearer's entire team that he played against, sure.
Because, you know, a lot of times this happens in baseball where they're like, with Mickey Mantle, remember, with the 61, or Roger Maris when he broke the record.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, but he did it in more games, and they put the asterisk. I wonder if, like, old-time players or whatever, old-time Premier League fans have an opinion on on Erling Haaland if he did it.
Well, if I know one thing, it's Premier League fans don't have opinions. So don't worry about it. I'm sure they're taking all this in stride and not thinking their grandfather's career or legacy has been besmirched.
Well, I'm glad you made it back.
Made it alive.
Safely. There was another match that we have to discuss because Liverpool did play against Tottenham, and one of the more exciting matches of the season.
This was probably the most exciting match I've seen since the Arsenal versus Reading 7-5.
Okay, yeah, I don't remember that one. When was that?
That was like 8 years ago.
Okay.
It was crazy. Yeah, maybe not 8 years because we were already doing the podcast.
Yeah.
So it was what, 16? Back then?
Okay. Long time ago. You were in the womb. I think you saw that one.
Just coming home from school saying, Christian, are we doing the podcast yet?
So, but a couple memorable moments from this game. Obviously, you know, Liverpool going up 3-0 and Tottenham coming back. The internet around I think the Premier League, and just there's something to, now, I don't know if you do this, but I clearly associate teams with a particular like content creator, right?
Yeah.
So like when Tottenham's playing, what's up? What's Expressions up to?
Right, pain. What pain is Expressions oozing in?
Because it's just as entertaining as the actual
those two dudes. Matches. I think it's like Tottenham Time. I don't know what the
something like that. I gotta Tottenham find TV. Their actual.
Yeah.
Those guys. They've sort of taken the cake because Expressions, even in the pain, you're like, oh, this is his game.
Right.
He's got the puns. He's got the wordplay for it. You know what I mean? These two guys, it's just raw emotion. They seem like sweet guys. You know, Expressions, like, you feel like he kind of revels in the pain.
Right.
These guys don't want this pain, bro.
Yeah, well, you use the pain as entertainment.
Right. They're like, they remind me of Garincho, where you're just like, no.
Right. And
this really hurts.
It's like, at this point, it's like we have the actual live football, mm-hmm. and then we have the reality show connected to, you know.
Look, as an Arsenal supporter, I will say half the fun of Tottenham losing is looking up people showing me the pain of a Tottenham loss.
Right. And I think this is a healthy way to grow the game.
Yeah.
And
healthy for us, not so much for them.
I was going to say, bro, Arsenal deserves a lot of credit. Wasn't Arsenal Fan TV one of the first guys that like were really doing this? You know,
they broke
games?
Open the gates to the to the fan camp. But now it's like individual streamers.
Yeah.
Seem like the ones we go to for pain.
Yeah. By the way, we got to give these guys the credit. We are Tottenham TV.
We are Tottenham TV. Channel.
Right.
They seem like two great guys.
Two great guys who literally picked one of the worst teams you could pick.
Oh, God.
This comes from an Everton fan.
Yeah.
Even I feel bad for you. If I feel bad for you, that's saying a lot.
Right. Because you have no hope. At least they thought they had hope. And the toughest part of this was if you've watched any of their clips throughout the season, they've kind of given up.
Yeah.
They've done the Conte thing, kind of destroyed them. Ryan Mason coming back. Stellini having a terrible run. This kind of broke them. And there was this glimmer of hope.
Yes.
Richarlison's only goal. And they're doing the damn pitch.
Boom, let's go. Let's go.
They're doing
I've seen it.
All of it, bro. They are reveling in a draw. Comeback draw.
And they came back against Manchester United just the match prior.
Yeah.
So I think there was like a things to turn around.
This is Ryan Mason,
yeah, put the contract on the table right now. Have him sign it.
Bro, let him add zeros to it. And then we saw the game, you know, Richarlison and Son.
Yeah,
right?
They're doing.
Son stops him and says, like, yo, hit it. And they're like, Look, and they were like, wait, Diego Jota's doing what? Already?
Who's running the other direction?
Yeah. Well, I'm right here.
Look, for Richarlison, that was a big moment because he had
his first goal.
His first goal. He signed with Tottenham 12 years ago.
Bro.
First goal.
When I was 9 years old.
I can't believe they kept him that long. But he scores his first goal, and his first goal is against Liverpool. So he was basically an Everton player at that moment.
Bro, he takes his shirt off, tattoos, jumps on the signage in front of the Tottenham away fans,
screaming at them,
and says, "I did this for you. You'll never be hurt again." Wait, what? Diego Jota's what?
and look, the decision from Lucas Moura to control that ball in that way. He was trying to go back to Christian Romero, going back to either the keeper or the center back, but the dude just has to take a touch. There's no one really around him, but he passed a pinpoint perfect pass to Diogo Jota and then also a great finish where you can tell the center back, I think it was Romero, and the keeper, Foster, right?
Mm-hmm. Fraser Foster,
or whatever. A nice little tongue twister. But
you said pinpoint pass real easy, but Fraser Foster gets you?
I just forgot his name. But you could tell both of them were like, why does Jota have the ball right now?
Right. And they,
how did he get it? Did someone blow a whistle?
We just scored a great goal back on the other end. Why does he have that ball right now? It's just like the roller coaster for it to go to that high of a high for Tottenham.
Have you ever seen vibes get handed off so quickly?
It doesn't happen that often.
Got deflected, bro. I've never seen that happen. They were partying very quickly. Everyone's like,
well, Well, there was a when Everton played Newcastle and got absolutely destroyed, like 4-1. There was like a very quick handoff of vibes, right? Because there was
I can't believe you're comparing these two.
I'm just saying, but look, there was a corner kick, and it was like an Olympico.
Dwight McNeil
scored an Olympico, and to make the game 3-1, and then Alexander Isak makes that run and humiliates every Everton defender.
Right, he cuts through like hot butter,
seconds. After an Olympico to like, oh, well, maybe we still got some hope. And it's like, nah, bro.
Nah.
It's like, yo, we'll be, you know, we'll watch the Sky Bet Championship and see y'all there.
Nah, we don't want to make you unpack your bags. Chick, chick. Takes out the last kid's balloon.
More like a Bolympico. Yeah, you know.
You going to the Blampianship, bro.
Enjoy yourself. it was a smack back to reality.
If you're Liverpool, also this is great, right? Because they've had not the greatest season, but to get this comeback win, have Anfield go nuts. It's tough for me to imagine them losing at Anfield because it's such a fortress for them. And if you're Klopp, you can understand why you pull a hammy celebrating. But it wasn't just celebrating. He heard himself yelling at the fourth official.
That's right. He was celebrating and yelling, which is you don't really see the
is
combo.
Is he Latino?
Are you my mom? Yeah.
My mother could be dancing at a party like that. What am I doing? Cuando esta canción termina, I'm going to kill you.
He was so upset, and I didn't really understand why he was screaming at the fourth official. So,
bro, he said some wild shit after the game. That hammy broke open angry clock, bro.
Because he really did. He wasn't even sure after because he said, he's like, I think I hurt my hamstring or adductor. And he didn't even know what
he don't know what it is, bro.
I hurt my balls. I hurt my booty. I don't know.
Everything from balls to heel is killing me right now, bro.
I'm just glad we won.
I need all types of ice packs.
So that was a pretty hilarious moment on top of, like, you know, the devastation for Tottenham fans, but the interview after the game, I'll play a little bit of it because I want to commend the interviewer here because he really didn't want he wanted to make sure he got the story and got the quote. Klopp didn't really give it, but he did enough to
get his story.
He did his job. Yeah. He did his job.
I'm surprised he didn't sneak into the shot.
But was unnecessary. I got punished for that immediately. I pulled my hamstring or adductor or whatever. So fine, that's fair. But what he said to me then when he gave me the yellow card.
Go on.
No, that's not possible. It's absolutely not possible. But it's not okay as well.
So what he said to you, you don't want to say, hang on. You don't want to say any more, but it was unacceptable.
Not only because I said already what I wanted to say. So there's no extra question.
Okay, well, I'm just wondering. I didn't bring it up. You did, so I'm wondering.
But I stopped then there. Okay. I know, you can't ask any more questions. I'm going to say it. That's it.
Okay, you've said enough. Thank you.
Okay.
Bro, does anyone else find Jurgen Klopp insufferable? He didn't used to be like this, bro.
No, much more enjoyable than previous.
Oh my god.
Yeah, do you think he's insufferable now?
Yes.
I don't find that insufferable.
Insufferable. The man pulled a hamstring, yelling at an official.
All he does is complain about referees.
You're not producing CBS Sunday Mornings, bro. Ain't no jazz
We're
music
not.
Here.
This is CBS. Cool.
We want pain, bro.
I don't. So look, even that. Like, let's try to unpack that. Is he insufferable? Like, there's more annoying managers.
You know what's insufferable? Pep going like, no, I really love the next opponent we have. I think they're an incredible team, and of course we're going to lose them when he knows good and well they're not. He does. He didn't just do that to Arsenal, if that's what you're wondering. He does that to everyone.
No,
that's a little insufferable.
Okay.
Because it's almost like a diss while complimenting.
Yeah.
I just can't remember the last time I heard a quote from Klopp where he wasn't talking about referees. When was the last time he was talking about the game?
Extra sturdy. He said the officials said something disrespectful to him. He said Tierney has an agenda against his club. He got fined, and the PGMOL, who I just found out who they are, they might ban him because they said that all the fourth officials, all the officials have microphones on them, so they're wearing a wire. And he said that they listened back, and they didn't hear anything that was, you know, unacceptable.
Exactly. That's
to
my
him
point.
Or from him?
From the official to Klopp. What Klopp is saying there is that the fourth official said something disrespectful to him.
Right.
Or the official when they gave him the yellow card.
Right.
And they're saying there was nothing. But also, I think we need officials for the officials. Because, like, how are you the final word on whether you did something wrong or not? If that's how the legal system worked, then maybe my cousin would still be home.
See, to me, Thomas Tuchel is insufferable. He is like a smarmy guy. I just don't like his personality and anything really about him. So that was my first thought. But this is an interesting thing because he points out, and I wonder if Klopp is going to get fined for this because he did call out the referee. We didn't play it in that initial clip, but he did call out the referee. Paul Tierney, right?
Tierney, yeah.
And but for him to he essentially is like, yo, this guy, he got something. Yeah. It's like, you know, when you your parent teacher conference or whatever, you have to tell your parents.
Yeah,
why you're not doing well in class?
Teacher says it's like a lie, bro.
This teacher just hates me. I don't know, bro. Mom. I don't know what to do.
Bro, I do my homework on time, and then he says I don't do it at all. You know what I mean?
So who you gonna believe? Me? Clearly. Your son?
Your blood? I came out of you, Mom. That guy? No.
So it's given that they won, it's odd that he even had to make this statement because I don't know what he was specifically calling out.
I'm inclined to believe him because it's Klopp. He don't seem like the kind of guy who's like, they're all against us.
I would say in general, I feel like I generally believe the anybody complaining about a referee, I usually believe that person because the referee can never say anything back.
Right.
So I'm just going to be like, all right, well, we only got one side of the story and we will
good enough for me.
So yeah. Case closed. Yeah. We're going to go.
Wow, dude. So were you on the Andrew Tate turf trial?
I wonder why issue, because he basically said that this has been ongoing ever since he's been in the Premier League, that Tierney has something out for him. He kind of implies that.
I love it.
Yeah.
More. Give me more.
But that's the opposite of insufferable, I'd say. Okay, let's move on to Leeds United, who are in a bad spot.
Right.
They lost another game in I forget who they
were. Can you pull the timer up so I can do that?
Sure, sure. They lost to, I forget who they lost to. Who did Leeds lose to?
Leeds' last loss was to, I can't remember.
Bournemouth. Yeah, a big game, right? They got
bodied by Bournemouth.
4-1. This is an interesting thing because, look, Tyler Adams isn't back, which I think is the main reason why they're struggling to get results.
And they love him. They don't like Brendan Aaronson.
They don't like Brendan Aaronson. They don't like Weston McKennie.
I feel like it's a 50-50 on Weston McKennie.
There's a weird, there's a growing, groundswell,
yeah,
of fans being negative about Weston McKennie. And the dude came from Juventus where he was doing well. I would put more of the blame on the back line for yeah, Leeds. They can't defend, bro.
Your whole team needs to be saved.
And I hurt to say that because y'all have a Dominican player
who's
not playing well right now. Yeah. But it's not the Dominican's fault. It's everybody else.
Yeah.
Let's just make that very clear.
If there's one thing we're going to be very clear on this show, is it's never the Dominican's fault.
Okay, they did nothing wrong, and they never have. But there was an interesting story because there was a...
This is weird. This is a weird one, though, because if you've watched the video, what you were going to reference is there seems to be like a bunch of kids behind a stanchion and parents.
Yes.
Fans in general at maybe a hotel. This looks like a hotel lobby.
Mm-hmm. Either they're leaving the game. I assume they're leaving the game, right?
No, this looks like a hotel. To the game.
I don't know.
Looks like they're leaving a hotel because they've got luggage with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just walking right past these fans as if they're not there.
Right. And so if you're watching, if you're listening to this, well, look, you see Weston McKennie, you see a lot of the other Leeds players. They are walking out of this hotel. There's clearly a lot of, I don't know if they're all fans, but there's clearly there's a Leeds United fan, a little boy in full kit, waving to the players asking for just maybe a photo, maybe an autograph, just even just acknowledgement.
Bro, this kid looks like you at the club before you were at a girl, bro. Just waving at all these ladies.
You wanna, I mean,
walking right past you,
it'd be
bro.
Cool if you wanted to dance with me, but if not, that's fine too. You know?
I guess not. I think the problem was that you were wearing a full leads kit like this kid.
I wanted to stand out. Yeah, yeah. It's called peacocking.
Yeah, y'all don't know about that.
I'll teach y'all. I'll
clip clopping in them cleats at the club, bro.
But really, you know, obviously a bummer for this little boy, but it got to the point, the video went so viral, even just this clip that we're watching right now has 6.8 million views
but also the response has been overwhelmingly, why would you do that to this child?
And Leeds had to put out a statement. This is from the Leeds website.
Word for word, it's fuck that kid.
And they put that little Jordan photo. It's great.
I'm like, why would you put this out? You sure? Have the lawyers read this?
the actual statement just says, as the first team squad at Leeds United, we wanted to reach out to the fan base regarding yesterday's game as subsequent posts on social media. Firstly, the performance was not good enough. There's no other way to look at it. And the only way to respond is on the pitch. Leeds fans travel up and down the country in huge numbers and deserve more than this. What is just as concerning to us as a group is the video online of us leaving the hotel. Words can't express how sorry we are that the youngster in the video wearing the Leeds kit is not shown more love from the squad. And then it goes on to basically say, like, please, family, let us know who this is. And I'm sure
that's it. However, there's no excuse for acknowledging the fans' parents. If the parents of the fan wearing the Leeds kit in the video could make themselves known to us, we would be grateful. It doesn't say, like, why. Like, make yourself known to us.
Take them out.
So we can ignore you too, like your child.
So, look, we've seen these videos before. I don't think we've ever really seen a club and a team collectively make a statement like that. I would imagine, I'm trying to like justify why the players, look, it's a,
the only
it was
thing
a very,
I can think of was the security guard who seems to kind of like be waving them away. There's okay. A security guard who's kind of telling them, like, just go.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of.
It was a really bad loss. Yeah. And so you can imagine they're not, it feels uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're back at the hotel. It's not like at the stadium.
Yeah, yeah. So
Charlie made a good point. Charlie Davies on the morning show said maybe they already interacted with these fans when they first got there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they're leaving, they didn't feel the need to do it again. And we're only seeing that part of it. That's like a very small possibility. I think the optics of it just in general are bad.
Have we confirmed that this isn't just like some AI, little AI kid? That
never existed at all? Is that what you're saying?
He's like Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Should we trust?
Yeah, them players have been dead all season.
I feel bad for that. It's not the worst thing. Some players have done worse things. So it's not the most terrible thing in the world. But it's just optically, it just doesn't look as good. You would imagine that at least some player would be, they see a kid in the full leads, just give him
just tap him on the head.
Tap him up, okay? Who got your nose? Do something.
Yeah, yeah, look what's behind your ear. It's not 3 points because we couldn't find those if we tried.
So I feel for Leeds. And so we should get into a conversation about this relegation battle.
What we should do is have a conversation with this kid. Like, why are you still a Leeds fan, bro? They don't love you on the pitch. They don't love you off the pitch, kid.
Hey, they're trying their best. They brought in the finest Dominican talent.
Manchester United right there.
So look. The relegation battle is looking pretty wild. Nottingham Forest lost a heartbreaker to Brentford. I was watching that game, and I was like, Brentford till I die. Yeah. I love Brentford since day one. That's been my childhood club. Okay?
No, a little kickabout with the boys, you always say it.
I was that little kids in the Leeds uniform at Brentford games.
At Brentford games, bro.
Okay.
Getting betting tips from Ivan Tony.
How is he still playing?
It's like, I don't know. Bananas. 200 something.
When I saw like John Morant in the play, I'm like, wait, what? He did something really bad.
Yeah.
Anyway. so Nottingham Forest, I mean, if they would have won that game, it would have put Everton's hopes in a much more difficult position. I want Leeds and Everton to stay up. That is what I'm hoping for. Everton is consistently disappointing. But how do you feel about the relegation battle right now? Because right now, obviously,
unfortunately, it's probably going to come down to Leicester or Everton.
Okay.
And what are you? Sean Dyche seems like the great manager for the second division.
It's a look for him to. They brought in Sean Dyche. Obviously, they got rid of Frank Lampard. Sean Dyche was the manager of Burnley last season. Got Burnley relegated.
I saw a terrible movie called Bank of Dave. Have you ever heard of this movie?
Never heard of this. No.
It's about a bank in Burnley, and they do a concert at Turf Moor, and Sean Dyche is in one of the scenes.
Oh, we got an actor as a manager.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's terrible acting, but it went with the rest of the movie.
Gotcha.
You know who else is in it? I can't remember her name, but I'm like, I have seen this actress somewhere before. I can't remember, but I didn't have Wi-Fi on the flight because it's Virgin, and they don't let you do that unless you pay. Mm. So I was like, I can't remember this woman's name. So later after I landed, I looked her up, and you know how I know her from? She's one of the women Pete Davidson dated. I didn't see anything else she was in.
Kate Beckinsale?
No. It's her, like, something diviner. She's also in, what's it called, Bridgerton?
Okay. I don't.
Phoebe, maybe? Let me look up the cast of Bank of Dave. By the way, it's a terrible movie. It's about a guy, Phoebe.
Phoebe Dinevor.
Okay.
Yeah. Beautiful young lady, great actress, incredible actress. Played the part really well. She played a doctor, and they really needed money. You know,
okay. Let me watch an OnlyFans video.
Dave. Yeah. So she starts showing her feet. I'm like, this got nothing to do about a bank or Dave, dude. No, it's this guy named Dave starts the bank. Turns out it's like a real story. It's like a real thing. There's a real Bank of Dave.
And they were like, we need Sean Dyche in this one. So
we can't really sell this story without a raspy voice. Raving manager, because the guy does like to go to raves.
Okay. So, all right.
By the way, terrible movie. Don't watch it.
So, Leicester, they won and drew their last game. Leicester actually look fairly decent. Even after letting go of Brendan Rodgers. But Everton are just, I mean, we can go. I mean, we do this every other.
Let's just look at the remaining matches for Everton.
Okay.
Because this is going to be gut-wrenching for you, but maybe fun for the rest of us.
So Leicester, so the game, we're recording this before the Leicester match, which is happening.
Which is why there's still hope, and that's why you haven't done all this. That's why there's not tears on my jacket when you put it on.
But Everton are playing Leicester, Brighton, Man City. That's obviously locked for 3 points. Wolves, and then Bournemouth. So
Bournemouth looking better. Wolves... Lopetegui's got them playing.
They're playing well. They lost.
They got smashed the other day.
But they look like they're going to stay up. Is it impossible to say? Look, I think
you've got to beat Leicester to have any shot because Brighton City.
I think 6 points could possibly get them for like 17th. I think 6 points if they can get, because the other teams are pretty bad. But 6 points might do it.
The only thing that you might have on your side is Bournemouth, the last game of the season, has nothing to play for. They're already saved.
Right. Man. So look.
What's the rest of Leicester's season?
Let's look at it. Leicester.
The thing is too, Christian, with Everton, like you're playing some teams that are also in this relegation battle with you. So like these 6-pointers are huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like 12-pointers.
Yeah.
So Leicester have obviously Everton, Fulham, Liverpool.
By the
Newcastle.
Way, you guys don't know this if you're not watching, but there's like a little box on the side that gives you some little data for the next match.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you three things, and it tells you which one of the two have it. So table position, Leicester win 18th versus you at 19th. Goals per match, Leicester winning at 1.3, you at 0.8. But don't stop there because you win one of these, which is goals conceded per match, bro.
Wow.
They're at 1.7. You're at 1.5. You feel me?
All right. So, I mean, look, you put your bets in.
You know?
The odds makers are already.
Everybody giving up more than one goal, but not as many than
it's
more
just,
than
look,
one
this
goal.
Game, this game, the game against Leicester is away. Everton have been, they've only won one game away. And at home, they look like they're away as well. They look really, really
now,
bad.
Now, remind everyone when your big, shiny new stadium opens.
It's supposed to be sometime next year. I imagine
they'll delay it if you're in the championship.
Maybe, right? Yeah, because it would just be they won't be able to turn the lights on, I think.
Yeah, they're like, oh, let's just keep the vibe. Let's keep these vibes here in Goodison, where we might knock it down.
It won't be the same when Leighton Orient's coming in to open the new stadium. That's
gonna be lovely. I keep saying, I'm like,
yeah, dude, Derby County.
Derby County. When Wrexham gets up, bro, I can't wait. Bro. See them in a nice League One matchup. This is a even Nottingham Forest. I mean, their remaining matches. They have Southampton, which is a big one.
Who's playing really well.
Yeah, Nottingham Forest looked much better.
Southampton.
Oh.
Southampton looking good. Come on, they drew against us.
They done.
They played pretty well against Brentford until the last minute.
They have Chelsea, Arsenal, Crystal Palace.
Chelsea are in the relegation zone.
Yeah, that's okay. We should look at the table because they're not far.
39
everyone,
points.
Okay, can I be honest? Everyone who also is a Chelsea fan with me has been telling me I'm crazy. I'm legitimately worried that we're going to get dragged into this relegation scrap. Chelsea is not going to win again for the rest of the season. I promise. They're just not. They're maybe going to get 2 points, and that's all I'm like counting on.
I'm real.
Dude, their form in the last five matches is 3 losses and a draw.
They've been hard.
They've got 1 point from the last possible.
Go
15.
Even further than that. It's terrible. It's way worse.
Just Mike is just falling apart. Dude.
Damn, he's getting older by the conversation, bro. Boomer Damn. Over here, bro.
They haven't won in 5 games in all competitions because apart from those 3 Premier League games, they lost to Real twice in the Champions League.
Right.
So they're in worse form than that.
Jeez.
Yeah. We talked about Chelsea all season, but there was a quote from Jurgen Klopp that was going around now where he basically said, I'm happy. I'm very much paraphrasing, but he's like, I'm glad that's happening to Chelsea because it shows that you can't just bring in the top players and have a strong
Insufferable.
Team.
Insufferable.
Yeah. Mikhail Mudryk, top players.
I don't know. Look, it's all up for debate or whatever. But look, they spent the money, which is what a lot of fans want. And clearly, it's more than simply just opening up your wallet.
They threw away money. They didn't spend it.
Okay. I wonder for Everton, I think the more frustrating thing is that we just did this. We just did this. Literally.
You just survived. But the guy who helped you survive, Frank Lampard, mm-hmm. is now ruining Chelsea.
He is. Literally.
I feel bad for... Do you feel bad for Frank?
Is he the worst manager in recent memory in the Premier League?
Yes, I think
so too.
It feels like you know what I hate that like Bob Bradley essentially had the same record that Frank Lampard has. You know what I mean? Like in the Premier League,
but he's American. God forbid.
Exactly. There is a...
he looking dusty in MLS right now, too. So.
they beat NYCFC.
Yeah. Well, it's wild. On the road. NYCFC don't win on the road.
But I feel for Frank a little bit. I don't know if it's...
I don't.
Look, I think Everton was a poor situation, and I think Chelsea is arguably not a worse situation, but at least there was like... It seemed like there was chemistry amongst the Everton.
Why are you listening to James Corden on who to hire? What are we talking about?
What did James Corden say?
James Corden was the one who told Boehly to get Frank Lampard.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, bro.
Look at that.
Dusty ass late night host.
He has one of the most popular late night shows.
He left. It's done.
He got offered $50 million to stay and he said no.
He ruined that and now he's ruining Chelsea. $50 million?
$50 million, bro. He got the Dave Chappelle offer. Corden went to Africa.
He's
to
in South Africa right now.
Clear his
bro.
Mind.
He's over in Tanzania. Like, do I want the 50 million?
Damn.
Corden said he said that he wanted to, like, his kids were at an age where he didn't want to keep, like, forcing them to stay in America. And so he just wanted to go back home.
What are you forcing them to stay in America?
Because they're in school. They're at a certain
When age. You were young, and maybe this is a Latin versus rich British thing, but did you have an option on where you went?
Not at all.
If you went to visit a family member and you told your mom, I'm bored, I want to go home, what did you hear?
Usually a chancla.
Yeah. The sound of a hand hitting your face. And tell them, stop crying and don't embarrass me.
So we'll see. Look, I still feel for them. I feel for Frank.
Can I remind you that Chelsea has won every single trophy a professional football club in England can win?
I don't feel bad for Chelsea. I feel bad for Frank Lampard, especially given that he was the Everton manager.
Say no when someone says be manager. No, I'm bad.
But
at
it's
it.
His own fault. He's so bad. Like, that's yeah. what I was gonna say. He's so bad.
It doesn't matter who's been the manager at Chelsea. Why focus on Frank? They've all been bad.
But he's also bad. He's bad at the job.
I agree that he is
bad.
So
then why say yes? Why ruin the club you love?
I don't know, bro.
Say no. Get somebody else.
He was bad at Everton, too. I'm not even just holding Chelsea against him. Like, he's trying to get two teams relegated this season. Yeah. So.
If someone says, like, hey, man, can you paint my car? Are you good at painting cars?
No, I'm not great at it.
Okay.
No.
So would you do it?
I mean, depend on how much money they offer.
I was gonna say. Do you like them? I hate him and that car. So I'm going to say yes. I know I'm not good at it, so I'm going to say, you know what? You might want to hire a professional. Now, Frank, he's like, well, God, let me go get some spray paint at the store and see what I can cook up.
I mean, look, especially for Frank Lampard, he has a sign up in Stamford Bridge. They're
taking that sign down as we speak.
When
this man started, they said, love you now, love you then. Love you forever. I got a feeling the vibes would change if they get relegated.
I agree with that. But look, he was bad at Everton, but Everton also had a lot of executive problems. They have the old guard that are still making decisions. And it feels like Chelsea.
To show you how bad the decision making is, they had us come out and film a documentary. They're all screwy.
But you could also say similar things about Chelsea, that Todd Boehly and the decisions he's made from the higher ups are also causing a little bit of a dysfunction, some disarray with the club. And as the manager, you can only do so much.
Look, don't listen to your fans on who to hire.
Who do you listen to then? Who are you supposed to listen to?
Two people, not two. Fans and James Corden.
We did a reel, but there was a reel we put out on YouTube about this. The two people you don't hire.
Right.
Yeah. This is ridiculous. And this is all your fault. Todd Bowley's like, I'll be the director of football.
Dude, Todd
what
Boehly,
you know about directing or footballing?
Todd Boehly hasn't been to Dodger Stadium in like 10 years. Why doesn't he just do the same thing, bro? Just leave us alone. Put some smart people in place.
Oh, no, you got your own James Dolan.
Dude, legit.
Oh, wow. Mm. No disrespect to James. I'd love to come out to a
game. I was
also
at the Garden
yesterday.
Love
your blues
bro.
Band, dude. Oh, my God. I miss it.
Also, Miguelito was at the game.
Yeah,
at
bro,
the
be
game.
Careful. He's
you went to the Knicks
up.
Game?
I did go yesterday. As a Heat fan, though. As you weren't game. Here.
Ugh.
You weren't here when I was with Goss.
Knicks in six. Dude,
hot after yesterday, bro. They were bad.
Jimmy Butler. They were
the fourth quarter was like I don't know what happened to the Knicks.
Jalen Brunson, that's what happened, bro. You need to find that scoring touch, my dude.
He was great. He was good the other three quarters.
He got benched, bro.
He was all right. RJ Barrett made some weird decisions too.
Obi Toppin can't shoot. That guy needs to stop shooting threes.
He's actually not. They were all cold. He's not a bad shooter. Shut up.
Welcome to Basketball Illuminati.
Yo, I'm shutting your mic. I have the power to shut your mic off. Are we talking no Heat fan?
I'm talking
here.
Too much. I'm sorry.
I'll just shut it off. Yo, I shut your mic off, bro. They can't hear you.
Couple other quick things. Want to give a shout out to the Watt family, JJ Watt and
the who? the what?
JJ and Keelia Watt are now, I guess, investors, part owners of Burnley Football Club.
Also owned by Americans. Owned by an American investment company.
Right. Yeah. So they got involved. My man.
I think this is part of that celebrity sweetheart deal where if the club fails, you don't lose any money. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. I want to get on. I'm a celebrity.
You
deal.
Heard that there was a very famous player we heard talking about this.
Oh, yes. I don't know.
Come on. Yeah. They got some sweetheart deal.
We're going to get very, very much in trouble.
We can't reveal what we know, but trust me, we know. You feel me?
Literally IRS agents walking through the door. Like, hey, enough of this.
Yeah. Shut it all down. The cameras.
But this is pretty dope. JJ bringing his big shoulders out to Burnley. I was talking to Mike about this before, but Keelia Watt, I haven't heard if she is done playing or not, but she obviously JJ and her had a child, and I don't know if she's coming back to playing in NWSL. She was playing with the Red Stars. Mm-hmm.
It's been a minute.
I don't know. I hope it'd be cool if she came back, but we shall see.
But the positive is look how much of a soccer fan she made him.
That's right.
And he owns a club now.
Look at that. And he's, and I think he was even Was he someone that was interested in buying either an NWSL club or an MLS club? I think he's been interested in this for a long time, especially now that he's retired. He's getting into the footy business. So the other NWSL news I wanted to bring up was Melanie Barcena. She's the San Diego Wave's newest player. She
young girl, 15 years old.
15 years old.
Makes her debut.
Youngest player to ever play in NWSL. She got her debut just the other night. And the interesting thing here is, and we have to talk about some of the responses, some of the comments.
While you pull this up, I do want to remind people that when the team was announced, she gave a speech.
Right.
She was like a superstar kid, someone who they looked at already as important to the club and the future of the club. So she gave a little bit of a speech. She took her COVID mask off. She gave a whole talk. And now she gets to play for the club, which is amazing, right? And you think everyone's going to just love this great story.
What an amazing story.
Yeah. What's there to be upset about?
The weirdest ones. There's a lot of comments about this.
I'm going to say white mom.
Alexis. Wow, you really nailed on the head, buddy.
I'm gonna take a shot and say a bunch of Karens have something to do with something to complain about.
If you look at through any of the posts about this, a lot of the comments are like, "Oh my goodness, how can they allow this?
Yeah, who let this little girl play?"
There's a lot of that. And it's very
people sipping large pink Starbucks containers. Have a lot of complaints.
It's such a wild thing. And I guess maybe because I've been watching soccer for so long that we all experienced the Freddie Adu story. We see this in everywhere. Premier League, Wayne Rooney was, 15 or 16 when he got his first start?
16, against Arsenal.
Right. So we hear this all the time. This is a common story. Alexis still mad at 16-year-old Wayne Rooney. Yeah.
He's like, I was not so upset with Mike Ladd. I'll show you Mike up again. I will shut this mic up again,
like,
Mike.
Do not dare mention that 16-year-old's name again.
Dusty ass. I hope Chelsea get relegated now, bro.
So a lot of the comments were either how could they allow this? Why would a 15-year-old be playing professional soccer?
One person in particular being like, it's a publicity stunt where they even find a 15-year-old girl, as if there's not academies.
And then it was other strange ones that were essentially like, she's 15. She'll never be 15 again. She should wait till she's older to play professionally. Your life is not all about work. Things like that. I'm like, the likelihood of becoming a professional athlete is
so. She's not an office manager for some shitty company like you are.
She's not like
where the only joy you have is listening to the person in the other cubicle talk about their failed marriage so you feel better about your failed marriage.
She's not like,
this is a professional athlete. What do you know about this? You know nothing about this. What you know is about Lunchables. This isn't your situation. You have to go to meetings in Kenosha, Wisconsin. She's playing for a professional team. You fly coach and use your laptop the entire time. What do you know about being 15 and getting a chance to be a superstar?
Is that a faux pas? I can't use my laptop and coach? What's going on?
You know what I'm saying?
What am I doing?
She's kicking her feet up on a charter flight, I don't think they fly.
Is it me? Has it been me? But no.
You're worried about the QED report. She's worried about what actual journalists are saying about her.
She's not like, Mondays, am I right? You know?
Bro.
She's not typing into Instagram, hugging a live, laugh, love throw pillow.
It was remarkable, some of these comments. Like, we can't do anything but applaud this young lady to make it as a professional at that age is almost impossible. And she should be nothing but applaud. It's not like she's not going to school.
What percentage of people ever make it as a professional? This is a 15-year-old who figured it out. And you're like, you'll only be 15 once. You were only 15 once. And what did you do? Get fingered under the bleachers? You did nothing at that age.
That's right.
You went to a school dance? Again. This one's out here losing professional games.
Okay. More than you can ever say.
They would have won the speech. Would have been a little better.
But no, still absolutely remarkable. So I look, any hate
you and some other person got their braces stuck together kissing for the first time, and that's a memory. But this person can't go out there and play professionally.
Yeah,
maybe change their family's fortunes.
Haters. Haters, that's all
so
it is.
So ridiculous. Why? Because, oh, I gotta get my science project in. Shut up, nerd.
Okay. Look, at the very least, this is a great on-field experience.
Yes.
Much better than most internships you're going to get.
Bro, you know what I would? Please let us know. If you believe that she shouldn't have played because she's only 15, let us know where you live so she could show up and nutmeg you, bro.
But no, sorry. Like,
oh, you're making rice pilaf for one.
It's just, it highlights just kind of the absurd double standard because, again, this happens for men and boys. Young men all the time. If the saying in soccer is, if you're good enough, you're old enough, right?
Right.
So, but for it to happen in the women's game is such a huge step forward in quality, especially for happening for American players. It's the future of like this game, and for it to be for the sport to be taken seriously. There's going to be young players that absolutely excel, and they have to be rewarded for that effort. She's probably been playing soccer at a high level for like probably the last like 6-7 years, and was probably playing since she was like 4 or 5 years old. Like, bro, this is her life. Yeah, this is the life she's chosen.
These are people, you know, none of them ever watched NWSL or cared about NWSL
before this
happened.
Yeah. No, somebody shared this. Yeah,
they're going on
Tucker
Carlson.
Olivia Moultrie at Portland. Like, we're going to see this story more and more. And this sort of outrage shouldn't happen just for the girls. You know what I mean? If like if you were consistent and we're like, yeah, Freddie Adu should not be whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the outrage shouldn't happen at all.
I agree. Yeah, yeah. It's very, very dumb. But again, congrats to her on her debut, Melanie Barcenas. So, all right. Let's wrap there. Anything else before we go?
No. Happy birthday, buddy.
For our birthday. Oh, happy birthday. Oh, wait. You know what? We have to celebrate with the Coors Light that's in front of us.
Absolutely, because listen, I love to chill. You know, someone says, "Alexis, what do you love?" I said, "My wife." What about something else? I go, "Oh, chill."
Chilling. Yeah, yeah. I forgot to.
And they go, "What about something else?" I go, "Oh, I forgot to say my wife." They're like, "No, you did that already." I'm like, "Oh, I was just thinking about chilling so much that I forgot."
That's right. So look, we say this all the time. Obviously, when you know when it's chill enough, and when you're chill enough is when you see those blue mountains.
Bro, my wife knows I'm chill enough because I kick my feet up on the couch, and mm-hmm. she's like, "Why are you wearing your underwear? We're gonna have guests, you know." And how I know my beer is chill enough is because the little mountains turn blue. The can is literally made to chill, and the beer is made to chill. So why would you get anything else besides a cold, crisp, refreshing Coors Light? It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill.
Let's go. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. All right. When you choose to chill, pair your plans with an ice cold Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
4th of July savings are happening now at the Home Depot. So get ready to go big with backyard barbecues for all your friends and family. Level up with the Next Grill 4-burner propane gas grill, now $199 from the Home Depot. Its extra large cooking surface is perfect for supersized entertaining. Take your grilling to the next level with 4th of July savings at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
All right, everybody. Yes, it is. That's it. This is the birthday special. I hope you enjoyed it. We sure did. I got to wear Alexis's Inspector Gadget coat.
Mike, bring me his jacket.
Yeah,
yeah. Let's go. Come on, no, this is unfair.
Yeah,
you don't get to just wear
for it. Please don't destroy it.
No, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna break the. I'm gonna rip the sleeves off of it.
There we go. Okay. I got you wearing my North Face vest.
You've had this vest for a hot minute.
Maybe like 2 years.
Bro, fits okay. Perfectly fine.
Can I tell you something about this? Interesting about this vest.
Did your baby vomit on it?
No, I didn't vomit on it. But I got this vest, and I saw this vest at a North Face outlet, and I loved it. And they didn't have my size. But then the one thing I noticed was, do you notice that the buttons are not where they usually are?
No, you notice? What are you trying to say?
The button, this is a women's jacket. I couldn't find it.
By the way, everyone listening goes, yeah.
It was only in the women's section. They didn't have a men's version, so the buttons are on the opposite side.
For someone who's so cold, I can't believe you have a jacket with no arms.
No, it's not cold.
You're often cold. When we used to have to share a hotel room, remember I put my pants on one time? You would always, whenever I did anything, if I blinked, it would be him like, making it hotter in the room. The worst.
Okay. Well, I mean, I wear sweaters, so I'm all good. But
Kid wore a full sweatband. He looked like a roadman going to bed.
But you looked great in a women's jacket, Alexis.
Bro.
Happy for you, buddy.
Thank you. And you look great in an absolutely massive overcoat.
Okay. We're both looking good at 23 years old.
100%, bro.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, my name is Christian Polanco.
I am Christian Polanco as well. I've worn the coat.
We'll see you in a couple days, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.